Join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
I want tonight to begin discussing and teaching on the subject and the theme of patience in suffering. And our speaker tonight comes to us from the book of James. The Apostle James teaches us from his perspective about what patience in suffering looks like. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. I think most of us have recognized the need for patience in our life. And yet I would say for most of us that have recognized that, we still like to practice the principle of being patient, but whatever I'm being patient with, I want right now. How many of you believe that? It's a little bit like the subject of submission. You're all about your spouse understanding and recognizing the importance of submission. But maybe it's not the same for you. But James chapter 5 begins in verse 7 with kind of an encouragement and a command. James writes and he says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient. You too stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is now standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven and not by earth or by anything else, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned." Let's pray tonight over the teaching of God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of opening up your word. That God, you have given to us a portion of what you have to say tonight. Let each of us eat and apply that portion, that we might leave here encouraged and strengthened to be patient, to stand firm and not to grumble against each other in the face of suffering. But God, may we leave this evening with your strength to persevere, knowing that perseverance finishes and completes your work in our life, that we might be testimonies not just of you as our Lord and Savior here, but our lives might be testimonies that you are our Savior out in the marketplace. So Lord, take your word and release your strength to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So James sits down and he writes this. And I think it's important when anybody picks up the Bible to recognize to some degree what the context or what the setting of that writer is addressing as he writes. We have to remember that this is not an easy time in the history of the church. It's a very difficult time that he writes from and writes to. These believers of faith are walking through it. I mean, they are really going through it. Their faith, their testimony is costing them something. Many of them have lost their homes. They've been burned to the ground. Many of them have lost everything. Many are on the run. I mean, they're really going through it. They have nothing. They have nowhere to live. They have nowhere to rest their head. And they pick up God's word, and this word for the hour of what they're going through is be patient. Patience is kind of that prescription for others that's easier to give to them in their time and their face of suffering than it is for you to apply that same prescription in your time when you face suffering. So James begins to write and he says to them to be patient. And he says, like a farmer who waits for their harvest, we have to stand firm. We have to be patient in times of suffering, and we're going to have to be willing to wait for a while. And that while and that which we're waiting for is the second coming of the Lord. This word patience is really important for you and I to understand. So we're going to break out the Greek understanding of it. This word patience in the Greek means to be of long spirit. It means to refuse to lose heart. Now this is a picture of the kind of faith that James is saying we as believers have to put on and practice in the face of suffering. He keeps breaking this word down, and he says that this patience that he's commanding and encouraging them to walk in means that you and I are to persevere patiently and bravely. Those two words kind of scare me. Because it tells me, get ready, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to walk through that's going to require you not just to be patient, but to be brave. So this word means to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. He continues to say in the Greek, it means to be patient in bearing the offenses and the injuries of others. It means that when you and I are going through it and we're in the face of suffering and others have come against us and they've said and done things that have potentially and practically injured us, that we are to be mild and slow in avenging. Now, what comes easy to most of us is in the face of injury and heartache and suffering is to let our flesh out just a little bit and power up and give them a word. The person that's hurt us usually gets a response from us. And we'll have a tendency to lash out and lash back and have the last word. Now, we don't always take that word to them personally. Sometimes we take it to the Lord personally. And we're hurting because we've been injured. We're suffering. We don't like the injury that we've incurred. And so we'll take it to the Lord and we won't be mild, we'll be wild. And we'll just lament to the Lord and with great frustration and great grief and great anger and great disillusionment, we'll wear the Lord out. And yet James is saying, you know what, though that comes to you in the natural and comes to you naturally, there is a way for you to walk through this trial that will be a sign of your faith. It'll be a testimony of faith, and that means for you to be mild and slow in avenging or showing revenge. Means to be long sluffering. Some of you are long sluffers here in this church, and you're going to have to start being a long sufferer instead of a long slufferer. Means to be slow to grow angry. Now, I think when he wrote this, he understood what the Lord was speaking through him to write. I think he understood the principle. He understood when he wrote this what he was saying. And he understood that it would actually be exactly opposite of what you and I would want to do. So I believe this writer wrote with a lot of compassion. And yet this writer still wrote what faith looks like in the face of suffering. He says, don't only be long-suffering and slow to anger, but be slow to punish. Now, friend, can I tell you, that's not a feeling. The feeling that we generally have in most cases is anger. And boy, we can light up in a hurry. Okay, some of you aren't downloading this appropriately. Let me give you a little point of reference. Let's say tonight you get up and you go and you pick your kids up in the children's ministries. And you're picking your kids up and another parent's there. And that parent begins to tell you what a horrible parent you are and what awful kids those are. Some of you are thinking, and that's different than any other Wednesday night? How many of you have found that something rises up in you when your kids are criticized? Or your parenting is criticized? Now, tell me a little bit about what that something looks and feels like and can sound like if you just let the flesh go. Excuse me? Okay. Word. Okay, someone else. Yes, Rob. I'm sorry? You're still standing, but probably not for long. I'm about to let you be slain in the spirit. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, mind your own business. Isn't that something that's very normal and natural that rises up in us? Yes, it is. Our natural tendency is to heat up in a hurry, is to cause some more suffering. The natural part of us is to get mad quick and punish them in the way that we feel we've been punished by the injury they've caused by their words, their attitudes, or their actions. And yet in the face of all that James knew as a person, God was still saying, I want you to write how important it is to be patient. And so he again writes, and he encourages the church to be patient in times of suffering. He's saying to them, during tough times, make the choice to stand firm and to work diligently. Even if that's not what you feel in your natural man, let your faith be what carries you. That's going to be a choice, and that choice is to stand firm and to work diligently. When things go wrong, and they will, your tendency in your nature, even as believers, is to grumble and to blame others. But he's saying, don't do that. that you are to be as like the prophets. You are to be examples. And as you are examples in suffering, you're going to be the testimony of Christ. You have to choose to persevere and continue in the face of suffering in your well-doing. As I've been studying and looking at suffering, certain people that I've known in history, through history classes and lessons and just tidbits of truth that people have given me, I thought it would be neat to go back and look at some of them. And so I look at one tonight that I want to give to you, and I want to look at Helen Keller. Somebody tell us a little bit about what you know about Helen Keller. Yes, ma'am. She was deaf and she was blind. She was what? Somebody said it. She was born mute, blind. So in some ways, we could say she was born into suffering. There were many things her life went through and experienced that most of us will never have to go through. I would think she would be qualified to talk a little bit about suffering. So I went and I found some things she had to say about it. This is what she said. She said, "The world is full of suffering, and yet the world is also full of those overcoming it." She said, "I had an opportunity in my life to either suffer and live in my pain, or I chose to, or I had the opportunity to choose to find my purpose in my suffering and overcome it." She said, "I was a pioneer. I could take people to a place they could never go if I was willing to go there first." And so she said, "I found my purpose in my pain. And my hope was to leave a path for other people who suffered with my pain to follow." She continued to write and say, "It's one thing for me to stumble over furniture that was left in the way, but it's another to provide a path around that furniture for those who would come behind me." Powerful path, powerful lesson, powerful life, who suffered. She also said this. She said, "Character cannot be developed in ease and in quiet. Only through the experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, the vision cleared, the ambition inspired, and success achieved." Now, I just want to take a moment and, in a sense, step away from the Word of God and just share a personal observation and opinion that I would have as a person. Here it is. I believe one of the biggest fallacies and one of the biggest misconceptions that was preached for years was that becoming a Christian would exempt us from having to go through trials and tribulations. There was a school of thought that even taught that being sick or lacking financial or material blessing was a sign of unconfessed sin or a lack of faith. I want to come back to the Word. That's my opinion. That's my belief. That experience I've had with so many believers who were taught that, lived that, only to find in the face of suffering that didn't work to bring victory and overcoming, that worked to condemn and defeat. I speak from that. But see, I think it's more than just my opinion and my experiences. I think Scripture teaches just the opposite. Take your Bibles and turn with me in James back to chapter 1. James is one of the voices that disputes that fallacy and that teaching. In chapter 1 and verse 2, he says it like this. "My brethren, consider or count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I found that sometimes it takes me a little while to count what I'm going through as joy. Like you, we go through times of suffering. Like you, we go through trials and we go through testings and we go through temptations. And can I tell you that rare is it the first time through that I can count it all joy? I found that my human nature and the tendency of it is to surface first and ask a lot of questions. I found that my tendency is to wrestle with God and wrestle with the trial and wrestle with myself. And if I'm not careful, I'll start wrestling with others. So I found that when I first start seeing the suffering and the trial and the temptation and the tribulation, it's good for me to keep my mouth quiet and my ears open. That's just me. Because I found that I will violate the truth of God's word and scripture if I speak too quickly in the face of suffering. I found that it's only too easy for my human nature to start leading me. It's only too easy to question. It's only too easy to wrestle with God's purpose in my pain. So I found that it's probably really good to be quiet until I can now count this as joy. Sometimes it takes me a little while to do the math, if you would. That term counting means you have to look at something and you have to consider it in such a way that mathematically and naturally and spiritually and by faith, you look at it and you say, my pain plus God's love equals his purpose. Because I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So I have to look at my pain. And I have to recognize that my story doesn't end in my pain. That somewhere in his pain, he's been touched by the feelings of my pain. He knows that I found my way into it, and I can't find my way out of it without him. He has felt all this pain before. So I have to stop myself and say, here's my pain. Now, where is his? He's identified with this. I have to pick up my Bible and find out if the Lord ever went through something like what I'm going through. I have to look and find that and then ask myself, what did he do in his pain? And even as I'm searching in that formula, in that mathematical equation, I can never filter out God's love. I have to go to Romans chapter 8 and I have to remind my natural man, I have to stir up my faith man and say, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not angels, not principalities, not powers present, not powers to come, not height nor depth. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. So when I'm hurting and when I have pain and I'm suffering and I'm standing in the face of it and I'm wanting to just tell everybody how I feel, I've found that I'm dangerous if I open my mouth. That it's good for me to be still and know he's God. And in the middle of my pain, I can't just leave my pain on an island to itself. I have to mix in huge doses of God's love. Because in time, that love will help me see the purpose he can bring out of my pain. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how God mixes a lot of his adoptive love into your pain. How God leaves himself in your path to bring you hope and to bring you help. To bring you through whatever you're going through. And next week, I'm going to continue to dispel the myth, the notion, and the teaching that once you become a Christian, all your trials go away. My hope is to help you see that some of your trials are not because you lack faith, but because you have faith. That's right. But how God will set you up in the middle of the faith you don't think you have, and he will do his best stuff. Now, we're all for the Savior, but are we all for the suffering that comes with it? Now, there's a part of all of us that doesn't want that part. I'll tell you, my favorite part about Easter is the empty grave. Some of you thought I was going to say the Easter egg hunt that we have at my house. No. I sure like good Sunday. I don't think on Friday they were all saying, this has been a good day. As the disciples, what a good day. This has been a great day. Let's call this night that he got crucified Good Friday. It didn't become good till Sunday. Till you saw his purpose. Till you see his purpose. And what I want us to journey to together next Wednesday night is to see how you can look ahead and find your Sunday and your Friday that's not so good right now. But that it takes an act of faith. It takes an almost aggressive, violent faith to move yourself beyond the pain that crucifies you today to find the purpose that resurrects you in his love tomorrow. But God is always working ahead. God is always 2 days ahead of you. And most of the time in my walk with God, he's never called me and said, hey, Pastor Greg, it's Sunday night where I'm at. Let me tell you how Saturday goes. You'll make it. Let me then tell you how Sunday goes. It's rarely like that. Many, many times when I am suffering, all I get is this need-to-know basis thing. I need, he knows. And he's not telling me the big picture. He's telling me one step, one attitude, one word at a time. But if you're willing to trust him with your next step, your next act, your next choice, then he'll entrust to you his kingdom. Have you ever prayed? How many of you will raise your hand and say, I tried that one time? Yeah. And I'm not talking about your spouse to change. How many of you prayed? Okay, there are a few more hands. Yeah. And I'm not talking about dinner. How many of you have ever prayed? And you didn't like what God had to say about your pain. Put your hand back up. Or you didn't like the timetable or the way. And you were looking for a second choice, second option, a second opinion. Okay, Dr. Jesus, we're going to go to another doctor. Now, some of us are very guilty of medicating ourselves. And you know who you are. How many of you have ever not used all of your kids' medication to get them well, and you used it to get you well? Now, we don't just do that in the natural. We do that in the spiritual. I really promise you, I'm ending and I am going somewhere. Many times I've prayed and asked the Lord in the face of my suffering just to remove it. If it's all the same to you, Lord, why not right now? And so there have been times I've heard the Lord speak. I just didn't like what he had to say. And so one day I'm praying, and as I'm praying, I just told the Lord, I want to trust in you with all my heart. And I quoted Proverbs 3 that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. And I said, Lord, I just want to trust you with all my heart, but I'm struggling right now with parts of it. And in that moment, I heard the Lord say in my spirit, you know what, Greg? I want to trust you with all my heart. Can I? See, it wasn't enough for me to trust him with my heart. The question is, can he trust me with his heart? And that's what pain prepares you for. That's what suffering can do in you. Next week, I'm going to talk about how just suffering alone doesn't build your faith. Does it make you an overcomer? Does it make you stronger the next time you go through it? So what you and I want to do is make sure this is the last time we have to learn this lesson again. Who's in? And so our tendency can't be when we're going through it, you sit this out, Lord, I don't like your prescription. I don't like what you have to say. I'm going to self-medicate myself. I'm going to heal myself. I'm going to take this situation of suffering into my own hands. And so next week, we're going to take a look at how to be overcomers, what overcomers do by looking at the pictures of Christ in Scripture and his word, what they do when they are suffering for their faith. Because sometimes, friend, it's not what you've done wrong. It may be what you're doing right. And it could be the enemy attacking you. So tonight we're going to conclude there, and we're just going to pray, and Father, we're going to ask you for your strength. We're going to ask you for your help. And Lord, you may give that to us one step at a time, one devotion at a time. And Lord, we make peace with the fact with the way that you're going to do this. Thank you for the strength that you gave us tonight. Thank you for the healing you're doing in and through us tonight. Lord, help us to be all that not only James wrote, but all that you have provided for us to be. And may this Easter season, our lives be resurrection testimonies that you are good all the time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.